So are those rose-colored glasses?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of pieces of information this morning are making a battered economy at least a bit more hopeful. Retail sales and Goldman Sachs earnings both up. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So here we are. Bankers that helped us get into this financial mess are raking it in. I mean, am I really supposed to feel better now? If Goldman's doing better, does that mean the rest of us will too?
Well, the economic data is only felt directly by people like Goldman Sachs. The rest of us get to stew in our juices for the time being. But they can operate almost with impunity because they don't care how their public moves look to the public. Major offices in U.S. government have been and are held by Goldman alumni, and they all think alike. And the executives sold $700 million in stock when their main man, Treasury Hank Paulson, cut Lehman loose, and they avoided all the stock plunge. I have no doubt that they bought near the bottom here. And they've got record revenues. Well, why? They're trading. Their competition is gone. Lehman and Bear Stearns gone, so they're making record revenues. And their bonuses, almost $700 billion. It's a wonderful life.
We heard from the Commerce Department retail sales in June were up by about 0.6%. That's better than expected. I thought everyone was sitting on their wallets, Julie.
Well, you saw some inventory rebuilding in the automotive industry, and they did pass through some of their costs. But what the automotive companies don't have to do now is deal. They've been doing that to try to move the metal anywhere. But they're going to stay firm on their pricing right now simply because the consumers are going to get their deals not from the dealers, but from the government. Cash for clunkers is revving up.
And wholesale prices came up a little, too. Should we be worried about that quickly?
Key thing is gasoline. Gasoline was going up, but there's speculation going on there. And gasoline, there's plenty available here, lots of storage. You're going to be seeing that come down. So pay no attention to this inflation figure. We have deflation, and it is entrenched.
All right. Julie Neiman joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
We do appreciate it. The Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said today the U.S. has a special responsibility, his words, to help guide the world through recession. Geithner touted the U.S. dollar and its resilience during his visit to the Middle East. Dollar is up today over the yen, but it's taking a bit of a hit against the euro and sterling pound right now. On Wall Street right now, looks like stocks are down. The S&P pretty much flat right now, about half a point, 0.6%. The Dow is down about 18 points or about 0.25%. Positive day for Asian markets, and right now European stocks are up as well. The world's biggest oil economy and oil company, I should say, Exxon, is investing more than $500 million to develop new biofuels to power cars, trucks, and airplanes. The company announced today it'll partner with biotech pioneer Craig Venter. He's the guy who decoded the human genome. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Even as its oil profits have soared, Exxon's been quietly moving forward to develop fuels that can be grown rather than drilled. That's as governments mandate more use of biofuels to fight global warming. And why make oil from algae? Well, it can be grown in any old muck and mire, in brackish swamps or even at sea, says Mark Nichols of the magazine Environmental Finance in London.
Algae, if the technology is got right, won't compete with food crops such as corn or sugarcane even. And it appears that the resultant biofuels may be more easily used in existing distribution systems and existing engines.
Exxon will spend $29 billion on capital and exploration for crude oil and natural gas this year, so its $600 million bet on algae-based biofuels is a drop in the bucket, but it's an investment that energy analysts say could lead to big profits down the road. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, July 14th, 2009, at marketplace.org. The U.S. Justice Department has reportedly launched a probe in London into a multi-trillion dollar financial market. Bloomberg says this morning the department's investigating those complex securities known as credit default swaps. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, explains.
The Justice Department has apparently served notices on a company called Market. No comment yet from the government, but we do know that Market is jointly owned by some of Wall Street's biggest banks. and that it's involved in providing data about credit default swaps. The CDS is a kind of bet on whether or not a company will default on its debt. The market is huge, worth an estimated $62 trillion, but much of the trading doesn't take place openly on a regulated exchange. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank.
There is a feeling that the credit default swap market was one of the factors in the rapid expansion of the financial crisis and its transformation from a financial crisis into an economic crisis.
He believes that if the Justice Department has launched this probe, it could be the start of a regulatory crackdown on CDSs and other complex financial products. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We heard from the Commerce Department. Retail sales in June were up by 0.6%, better than expected, but it's still been a slump. Online sales through that slump had been a rare bright spot. But recently, internet sales growth has slowed. As the recession drags on, what's the prospect for internet retailers? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Increased competition among online stores has forced many e-retailers to slash their prices. That's hurt month-to-month sales growth, which has been negative since February. Some web retailers, like Parent Company, which sold children's products, have closed their virtual shutters. Analyst Sucharita Malpuru is with Forrester Research. She says the big online brands, such as Amazon.com, are holding up better than smaller e-retailers.
It's a very, very long tail, you know, of companies that are duking it out for the dollars that people are spending in the web channel.
Online sales are expected to grow by 11% this year to $156 billion. That's a far cry from the 18% jump in 2007. Experts say doorbuster specials may be luring some customers back to in-store shopping. Malpuru says companies that are doing best online are brick-and-mortar stores with a strong web presence, such as Macy's, Walmart, and Best Buy. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Several U.S. companies are anxiously awaiting word from the Department of Energy this month. They're competing for $2 billion in federal stimulus money aimed at jump-starting the electric car battery business in this country. Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
When General Motors chose a battery maker for the Chevy Volt, it picked a company few in this country had ever heard of. It was LG Chem, a big Korean manufacturer. Asia leads the world in advanced battery technology to power plug-in hybrids and electric cars. Charles Torito is with the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. He says the $2 billion in stimulus grants will help the U.S. catch up.
We want to make sure that we don't trade in our dependence on foreign sources of oil for a dependence on foreign sources of batteries.
Applicants for these stimulus funds range from Fortune 500 giants like Dow Chemical to startups like A123 in Boston. Sanjay Deshpande heads a consortium of mostly smaller companies applying for aid. It wants to use the money to build a factory for lithium-ion batteries or cells.
The larger cells are not made in high enough volume to bring the costs down. And the capital investment is very high, and that's why we are seeking the government support.
Bringing battery costs down is essential to building the market for plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. Right now, these batteries can cost tens of thousands of dollars, depending on their range. Mass production could cut that cost by half or more. But mass production requires a market, and it'll take more than federal stimulus funds to create that. Longtime electric car advocate David Goldstein.
The great unknown is the cost of gas. If the price of gasoline stays low, then we may have a problem because automobile manufacturers may not build enough of these electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles to reach that critical mass.
Officials at the Department of Energy will announce winners of the stimulus grants in the next few weeks. States with high unemployment rates like Kentucky and Michigan are eager to hear the results. Some battery companies have promised to locate factories in those states if they're awarded a grant. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Fans in St. Louis will be packing into Busch Stadium tonight. It's the 80th Major League Baseball All-Star Game. But they won't be eating and shopping at Ballpark Village. The downtown business and entertainment district was supposed to be done by now, but no. Adam Allington reports.
If you stand next to Busch Stadium and look out at the future site of Ballpark Village, you'll see a freshly paved parking lot and brand new softball diamond. Just how long this piece of prime downtown real estate will remain a softball field is an open question. These days, most St. Louisans share the opinion of Joe DeCecchi, who came downtown to buy Cardinals tickets.
Well, it's better than what it was before. It was just a pit with water in it. It was nothing before, so this is better than nothing.
Ballpark Village sits on the site of the old Busch Stadium. The Cardinals moved to a new stadium across the street in 2006, a $600 million retail and office development. The project's been touted as the best hope to bring people back to downtown St. Louis. Ballpark Village hit a snag last year when its biggest tenant backed out. Then the bond market collapsed, leaving the city and the Cardinals scrambling for a new source of funding. And not everyone thinks that's a bad thing.
We've got former festival marketplaces and subsidized hotels and entertainment districts from one end of the country to the other that have absolutely gone bust.
That's Haywood Sanders. He's a professor of public administration at the University of Texas, San Antonio. He points to Kansas City's newly completed Power and Light Entertainment District.
It hasn't had the leasing activity that it was predicted to have. And now they're likely to pour more money into more things to try and keep that going.
Sanders says St. Louis already has an office vacancy rate more than 20%, and retail hasn't thrived downtown since the 50s. For their part, both the Cardinals and the city say Ballpark Village will happen. They're just waiting for the bond market to improve and for the state to sign off on a package of construction subsidies. Even Missouri Governor Jay Nixon put his reputation on the line.
I am not going to end my tenure as governor with a softball field over the left field fence, okay? We aren't done.
And in a baseball-crazy town like St. Louis, most fans probably pay more attention to Albert Pujols than to the empty lot across the street. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Finally, Billy Mays seems to be the eternal pitch man. While the infomercial king died of heart disease last month, new ads taped shortly before his death are still hitting the airwaves. The New York Times says ads for Mighty Putty's new Super Pack will begin airing today.
And to make this the mightiest deal on TV, I'll triple it and send you two sticks of original Mighty Putty. Absolutely free.
But wait, there's more. Another Mighty Putty ad will premiere next week. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.